Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Weddings are a celebration of love when family and friends come together to support a couple as they vow to spend the rest of their lives together. Weddings are also notoriously stressful, expensive, and time-consuming. Where can brides and grooms turn for advice on choosing a venue, photographer, or caterer? How can couples shape their wedding ceremony and reception so it reflects their personalities, interests, and hobbies? Joining us to talk about everything wedding-related is the managing editor of Baltimore Bride magazine, Janelle Diamond. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And also with us is Kawania Wooten, founder and principal consultant of Howerton Wooten Events, a wedding and event planning company in Bowie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Janelle, Baltimore Bride is relaunching next year as Baltimore Weddings. What's behind the name change?
Well, we've been talking about it for a long time and felt it was finally time for the name to reflect what's already been inside of the issue, which is beyond just the bride. Grooms are way more involved now than ever before. We run a lot of same-sex weddings inside the issue, and so we really wanted the name to reflect the interior.
In addition to articles about choosing the right venue and the do's and don'ts of bridal beauty, the magazine includes stories of lots of real couples. How do you select the weddings that Baltimore Bride features?
Well, I just want to say that is probably my favorite part of my job is getting to talk to all these couples. I interview them all myself. And, getting to kind of relive someone's best day is so much fun. And who doesn't love to talk about their wedding? So we put out an ask to photographers, wedding planners, and couples to submit their wedding to us each year. And myself and my art director, it's so much fun just to look through this giant pile of weddings that we get. It's like our March Madness, and we slowly kind of whittle down the pile. But we love weddings that really reflect the couples. We don't have one single thing that we're looking for. We like to see diversity in our couples. We like to see diversity in where they're getting married, in the budget for their weddings, in the vendors that they use. And so we kind of use all that to get our final grouping of couples.
Kawania Wooten, I imagine that many people think wedding planners are only for big, fancy weddings. What can a planner offer someone whose wedding is smaller or more modest?
I actually think for most planners, the smaller, modest weddings are a favorite, because then we get to treat each of their guests as if they were a guest in our own home. We
Wow.
get to make that bride feel like she's given every single person at that wedding a very special experience. And and that's one of the things you can't do with a big wedding. So if you have a wedding of 50 guests or less, then you're going to pay much more attention to the details. And for a planner, that's what we live and die for, is taking care of those teeny tiny little details that make people feel a certain way when they leave.
Do you offer different levels of service?
We offer different levels of service based on the couple's needs. It's not always based on how many guests they're going to have. My team members take care of weddings when a couple has done all the planning themselves and they just need somebody to carry out all their details. And we call that a month of service. Or some people call it day of, but day of is a bit of a misnomer. It's a month of. Nobody wants somebody to just show up on a day of and run things, because then we're not paying attention to those details. We have services where our couples want to be involved. And so that's a little more of a limited service. And then I have couples who are just too busy to take care of wedding planning, because wedding planning is like a full-time job for a few months. And so we come in and take care of everything. That's truly a luxury experience for them, where, you know, I am their right-hand man from the beginning until the end, pretty close to them by the time we're done.
What advice do you give couples about choosing a wedding planner?
You know, first and foremost, chemistry is everything. Outside of your mother, I'm going to be the one you talk to the most about your wedding. So we should get along. And it's not so much getting along, we should gel, because if we don't, it feels like dog years if your wedding planner and you don't communicate well.
So how can you quickly understand that when you're meeting a wedding planner?
Absolutely. When we meet with our couples, we encourage them to meet with more than just us. We want you to have that connection. I always tell couples, when you meet with a planner for a consultation, it's like a first date. I'm checking you out, you're checking me out. We're getting a sense of how we feel, and then during that first date, we're deciding if we want a second date. And it's not just personality though, it's how I work, how my communication style, my hours of operation, because some couples may have hours that just don't work for me, or my philosophy about wedding planning. Like Janelle, we're very inclusive. And so we may have some couples who aren't interested in what we believe. And so we pretty much put all of that on the table in the beginning, because we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable working with us. All I ever want to hear, I couldn't have done this without you. But it should not feel like I took it over. It just should feel like I was your right-hand man. I came in there. I made your vision come to life.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Kawania Wooten, a wedding planner and the founder of Howard & Wooten Events in Bowie, and with Janelle Diamond, managing editor of Baltimore Bride magazine. We're talking about the decisions couples make planning their big day. So what tips can you offer a couple trying to stick to a budget?
Well, first and foremost, you have to set some realistic expectations, because weddings by far are going to give you sticker shock. A wedding is very labor intensive for just about every vendor involved. So a wedding service is going to cost more than if I was planning a party. If you were baking a wedding cake, it's much more labor intensive than a birthday cake. And so as a result, couples get sticker shock. So I tell them, figure out how much you can spend beforehand. Let's talk about everything that could be involved in a wedding, and then let's talk about what we can peel away, and it won't hurt so much, and what is most important to you. The guest list is going to be the biggest impact on your wedding, because it has a domino effect on your budget. If I can get rid of 20 guests, that means I can get rid of 2 tables, 20 meals, 2 centerpieces. Once you start to figure out, okay, we can afford 100 people, then we have to have this realistic conversation with parents and your fiance, so that everybody understands that this is the parameters we're working in, and it's going to be amazing. It's just that this is it. And what happens for couples is they get focused on what they can't have, and then they get very emotional. And when I talk about all the amazing things you can do, then it's going to turn out to be this amazing wedding. And I always say, pick 3 things. What are the 3 most important things that you want on that wedding that you have to have? Usually, it tends to be the food, and then the photography, and then it's the execution of it all. And then if you put your money there first, then everything else is gravy.
Janelle, I saw you nodding while Kawania was speaking.
I was thinking a lot about our bloggers that we have on our website. We have, our magazine is beautiful, and it's a lot of these fantastical, beautiful shoots. But our bloggers are real life brides and grooms who are getting married and who write for us about the struggle of paying for things and sticker shock and cutting mm-hmm. down the guest list. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of them, the struggle is getting that guest list down. I 100% agree. I think mm-hmm. that's kind of the catalyst for a lot of spending, and also for figuring out what's important too. And I'm certainly not here to say what's most important on your list, but I think people do see if it's the food, if it's the music. There's some DIY elements that brides and grooms will do for, their own wedding. We have a wedding of the month up that's the bride grew some flowers in her backyard, and her mom and mother-in-law, and she, put together her headpiece and the flowers that were used for the wedding. And it's not necessarily time saving, but, I assume it's, there are some savings there. So I do think if you can add some DIY elements, it certainly can help with the budget.
When you mentioned DIY, I realized my mother made my wedding dress, and that saved a lot of money.
Yes.
But not everybody has a seamstress mother.
No.
So where can you save money in that area?
Now, there's so many more places to get wedding gowns just than from the major designers. J. Crew offers wedding gowns now.
I'm Beholden.
Beholden, yes.
The Anthropologie line.
Mm-hmm. So there's other stores that are offering those services. And if I may, one of the things I encourage our couples to do is be flexible in your date. Because if you considered a wedding in January or February, you might be able to, you know, get some cost savings.
That would be savings in the cost of the venue?
And maybe even in your vendors. It all depends, because we don't book a lot of weddings in January and February. In this area, weddings are very popular in September and October, and June and May. But July and August, not so much. So if you even moved your wedding date by a couple of weeks, you know, and ask the venue, is there a hole I can fill? And if I fill that hole, you know, is there any cost savings to that? You may be able to get a little bit of a reduction in the cost.
Janelle, a good portion of the current issue of Baltimore Bride is devoted to flowers.
Yes.
What's the big idea there in terms of incorporating flowers and greenery into the wedding decor?
We call our current issue the flower issue. A little bit of it was personal. Flowers are just so spectacular to me, and I just feel like they add so much in so many different ways. And so in the current issue, we have a piece on edible flowers and incorporating them into cocktails or little bites that, you know, you would serve at a bridal shower, just to kind of elevate a simple crostini with some edible flowers is so amazing. We also talk to a lot of local florists who kind of have all different visions as to what flowers mean to them and the clients that they serve here. And we did a whole conversation with them and talk to them about their favorite flowers and their kinds of clients that they're looking for, and ways that couples can incorporate flowers that aren't your traditional ways. And then we also did, which is one of my favorite pieces, what to do with your flowers after the wedding. You know, people used to like freeze dry their bouquets and put them in shadow boxes. But, you know, what are these modern couples doing now? And so we looked at places like donations that'll repeat roses will come in and take your flowers and rebundle them and give them out to nursing homes and hospice centers. There's different companies that will take actual petals from your flowers and turn it into jewelry. There's local artists who will paint pictures of your bouquet that you can hang up in your home. People who will take the scent of your bouquet and turn it into different oils that you can use. So just kind of continuing and taking those flowers that you've spent so much time and energy on and having them last beyond the day of your wedding.
It seems like today's couples are more interested in preserving their wedding style rather than sticking to traditions. What ways have you seen couples put a personal stamp on their weddings?
The royal wedding instantly comes to mind for me. I've seen a lot of couples who are very similar to that. The beauty of our area is we see a lot of cultures that mix. And one of my favorite weddings took place where the bride was Jewish and the groom was African American, and they broke the glass and a gospel choir started to sing after they said Mazel Tov.
I love that.
And it brought tears to my eyes, mostly because they embraced each other so well. Couples, when they love food, the whole dinner becomes their wedding experience. And one of our favorite things to see now, we have a wedding where the colors of the room changed with each course. It was this brand new experience for each course.
And that was with lighting?
With the lighting. And it was the coolest thing. And I love it when people say, you know what, this tradition is important to me, but it's not even mine, but I want to incorporate it in. And they bring it in, and it feels good to them. One of my favorite things now, the bride's best friend is a man, so she has a man of honor. Or the groom's best friend is a woman, and he has a best woman. And to me, that's bucking a little tradition, and it's making that wedding your own.
We actually have one of Kawania's weddings in our local love issue, and the couple really loved geodes
yes.
and incorporated that into the colors that they used for their wedding and into the cake mm-hmm. and the place cards. And I just love kind of taking something that you would never necessarily think was a wedding theme and incorporating it into yeah. the wedding day. It was something that they both loved. He was, a gemologist
yeah.
and she just, yeah. who doesn't always love jewels and jewel tones and, yeah. and rocks. And, you know, and so for us, like just kind of seeing something different and kind of knowing that it's not like just shabby chic or
yes.
just black tie. And there doesn't, you know, there's not this checklist anymore that brides and grooms have to do. They don't have to do a sweetheart table. They don't have to do a garter toss. Weddings are really, and thanks, I think, to hopefully magazines and Pinterest and Etsy and Instagram. I think brides and grooms are seeing like they can really do whatever they want as long as it feels like them.
What makes a successful wedding?
First and foremost, the couple getting married. And then, to me, everybody's relaxed. They're having a great time because weddings are never perfect. There's too many players involved, but they can be amazing and fantastic. Everything isn't going to run as planned. It just doesn't happen that way. It's how we bounce back that makes a wedding perfect and amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, there's things that you just can't control, like the weather.
Yes.
And, you know, we get so many beautiful weddings that we run that it poured the entire day of their wedding. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can't do anything about that. So you just have to make sure you have, I guess, a plan B
mm-hmm.
and also a good attitude. And I agree. I think, you know, the couples that know at the end of the day, as long as they had a wedding and that their guests had a good time, that's really all that matters. And that those are the weddings that we tend to gravitate towards, where the couple just really enjoy each other and enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just tell their personality by that very first photo, and that it wasn't forced, that they weren't just there to, you know, impress their family. You know, they were there because they truly love each other. Mm-hmm. And they wrote their own vows, or they incorporated some silly thing about, you know, where they first met on their first date, you know, something like that, like some element that reminds you of why they're there, you know, that chance meeting at a bar in Fed Hill.
Well, thanks for taking us into what you do. Thank you.
This
Thank
was
you.
So much fun. Thank
yes.
you.
Kawania Wooten is founder and principal consultant of Howerton Wooten Events in Bowie. Janelle Diamond is the managing editor of Baltimore Bride Magazine, soon to be Baltimore Weddings. Quick break, and then a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.